Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 21, I'm going to read through verse 32. If you would and if you can, I know I've had you standing, but please stand to honor the word of the Lord. If you can, I understand if you physically can't. Romans 1, starting in verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him or give thanks to him as God, but became futile in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into images made with corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. They turned the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged the natural function for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural function of the woman, burning in their lust toward one another, men with men, doing that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a debased mind, King James says, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not proper. They were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, craftiness, their gossips and slanders, God-haters, insolent, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, and disobedient toward parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, callous and unmerciful, who know the righteous requirement of God, that those who commit such things are worthy of death. They not only do them, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. Continue, Lord, to have your way. Thank you for your word and the entrance of your word. Bless our time in your presence. Flood our eyes with light that we may see, and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Soften our hearts, Lord, to receive the word. And Lord, give us the boldness of your Holy Spirit to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Children, you may be dismissed. Again, for clarification, I'm not mad at nobody. A lot of the things that's been said this morning was not planned to be said at all. But when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, the problem is we are too busy and too good in the modern day church of quenching the Spirit of God in the name of being worried about who it's going to offend. Well, if we could offend more people with the Holy Spirit, that's not offense, that's conviction. And when people can receive conviction of the Spirit of God, it'll put their heart in the place where the Spirit of God can make corrections and create in them a pure heart. You can't create in them a pure heart if we allow the corrupted heart to be untouched. You ever washed a dish without washing the dish? I hadn't. I wished by faith that that pile of dishes would just be clean. But it took some Dawn hot water and a little elbow grease to get it done. This morning, I've said it enough, but I'll say it once more. There is no anger in my flesh whatsoever. today. But there is a hatred for the things that are wicked in my spirit today in a way like never before. We often hear about compassion. We often hear about grace and mercy. And those are all wonderful things, true things, available things. I'm not speaking against today. But I'm going to draw attention to another. We are commanded to not only love righteousness, but to hate wickedness. And the problem in our society and within the American church today is we say we have a love for righteousness, but we do not have a hatred for wickedness. And we try to allow the two to coexist, and it cannot. So what happens is because we do not have a proper hatred for wickedness, and we coddle it and allow it to stay in our presence, we feed the cancer. Most of the time, in the name of mercy or compassion, then we become a wicked people, yet call ourselves godly. It is this process that has led much of organized religion to the place where it is today, where there are people who call themselves Christian organizations who approve, not only approve, but ordain. I need you to understand something. For me to approve something as a man is one thing, but standing in the office that God has called one to, anointing with oil, symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit, and laying on my hand by faith as a transference of power, marking an approval from God. That is what ordination is, setting apart. You are being called out to be set apart, to lead and be a mouthpiece for our Heavenly Father, ordained. So, it is one thing to approve something as an individual, but to ordain sin that is in direct opposition to the Word of God is, in essence, saying God has approved this action. God approves this. Church, there's never been a further, bigger, bolder lie told. God does not hate himself, and he will not ordain that which he is opposed. So they can pour 5 gallons of oil on that person's head, and they can pray the most beautiful prayer all day long. But if that person is walking in direct opposition to the Word of God, they are no more ordained than the pea gravel in the parking lot. Quite frankly, the pea gravel in the parking lot even knows to cry out in the absence of the people. So actually, the pea gravel in the parking lot is more ordained. The truth is still the truth. Today we need to understand that we live in the society that has turned the truth of God into a lie in their own understanding. In verse 32 is exactly the society that we are living in today. Let me read it to you. Those who know the righteous requirements of God, that those who commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do them, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So you're standing in a place calling yourself a Christian, calling yourself a bishop or an apostle, a pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher. And you are laying hands on to ordain that which you know through the Word of God is sin. But you refuse to obey the Word of God. And you operate under the desires of your lust and your flesh and ordain that which God hates. Now, that's talking about sexual sin that we see going on within the church. Now, there's a deal here. I taught about this a little bit at men's conference. The reason there's such a tie here with sexual immorality is it's not just, you know, a physical thing. Sex was designed by God for one purpose. It is the blessing on the marriage bed. I'm not getting too far into that, so all of those of you who've tensed up and said the preacher said sex behind the pulpit, it's okay. I'm not going to give you a seventh grade physical education class, but we're going to talk about some spiritual matters. It is the blessing on the marriage bed because it is the picture of the two flesh becoming one. It's what happens when you get born again. It is a natural representation of what physically happens to us when we are born again. He says we are the bride of Christ. I'm not getting weird or kooky on that. Everything in the natural that God give us, it points to Him in some way or the other. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 7, we're not going there. I didn't give you these scriptures. I'm not teaching on this too much today, but I got to set this scene before I go where I'm going because the Lord is flowing up here. There are two opinions of sexual relations. One of them is that sexual relations is just an appetite and it does nothing to your spirit. It's just physical. So do whatever you want to do and it doesn't have any bearing on your spirit man. That's incorrect. The other opinion is that it's dirty and it's fallible and you should flee from it and it's wrong. That is incorrect. It is beautiful, it is pure, and it is holy, but it is designed for one place and one place only, and that is the marriage bed between one man and one woman. In that context, it is a representation of our spirit man becoming one with Christ Jesus. The two become one. It is a seal on the contract of eternity. Why are you talking about this? Because I need you to understand the reason sexual immorality is on a rise in our nation, the reason sexual immorality is on a rise within the church, the reason the divorce rate in the church is no better than the divorce rate in the world, the addiction pornography in the world and the church. There's no difference. Statistics are showing. If 50% of the people in the world get divorced, 50% of the people in the church are divorced. If 50% of the people are addicted to pornography in the world, 50% of the people in the church are. That's a problem. Because the church ought to be holy. The church ought to be set apart. We do not operate by our own fleshly desires, or we're not supposed to. We should be walking under the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God, and whom the Son has set free has made free. So why does the church look exactly like the world? Here's why, because most of the church ain't the church. And don't nobody want to preach that because it don't fill up the house. But it'll fill up hell. Because that's the problem with tickling ears. You're going to pack out the church, and you're going to pack out hell too. And I'm in the business of filling up heaven. I'm in the business of teaching you how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk by faith, how to be holy because He is holy. We need to understand that the truth is still the truth. Even when it's unpopular, it's still the truth. Verse 24 here in Romans 1, it says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. Pause there. Why is there all this tied to sexual immorality? Because the act of sex, as I've already said, is spiritual. So if the devil can convince you to step outside the will of God and do things that are displeasing to the Lord, you've immediately put yourself in a place where the hand of God is hindered until you come to a place of repentance. God cannot bless outside His will. He can't do it. And then let's go a little bit further. Then you got soul ties. And the issue is with soul ties is one man, one woman, two flesh become one. One lost person, one Savior. I get born again. I am now in Him and He is in me. I am seated together with Him in heavenly places. Well, in this earth, if I'm giving a piece of myself to everybody in the world, that is spiritual polygamy. And then I wonder why I can't walk in the freedom that the Lord has for me. Yeah, He saved me, and yeah, I'm going to heaven. But I've made an eternal connection with this person, and this person, and this person, and this person, and this person's full of the devil, and this person's an addict, and this person's this, and this person's that. And I see them, and I can't, and anything you've ever done or seen, you can't unsee and undo. And so now I'm going through life and I'm trying to live it pleasing unto the Lord, but I see this person and I have this thought. I see this and it reminds me of that. I hear this and it reminded me of that because I've given a little bit of myself in all these different places and I'm walking around trying to please God, but there's so much of me scattered around that I tried to give it all to Jesus, but I done give some of it to other people. Today we need to understand that all this sexual immorality is not just something of happenstance. I was reading my Fire Bible notes. If you have a Fire Bible, it's in your study notes on verse 24. I think it's toward the bottom of it. I want to make out a point, though, in dealing with how the Lord works. The notes of your Fire Bible, even though your Fire Bible may be brand new, Brother Stamps that wrote the majority of those died in 1991. So those notes are 30 plus years old. So 30 plus years ago, here's the note in dealing with sexual immorality. A sure sign that God is strongly displeased and has abandoned a society is there is an increased focus on sexual immorality and perversion. Sound familiar? We're on Good Friday. The president makes a proclamation that on Easter Sunday is going to be the National Day of Visibility for the Transgender. That we need to lift up these men and women who have suffered in our nation. I'm not here to get political, but I'm here to talk about the state of our nation. I'm here to talk about the society that we live in. I'm here to tell you that it's time that the church come out from under a rock and quit being so stupid. That's mean. Well, I had no plans of doing this, but I'm going to. On Transgender Day of Visibility, I'm reading from the White House official letterhead. On Transgender Day of Visibility, which this letter was sent out on Good Friday, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union. More perfect union. There is no other perfect union than the union of man and woman created by God. Where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. I am proud that my administration has stood for justice from the start, working to ensure that the LGBTQI plus community can live openly in safety with dignity and respect. I am proud to have appointed transgender leaders to my administration and to have ended the ban on transgender Americans serving openly in our military. I am proud to have signed historic executive orders that strengthen civil rights, protection in housing, employment, healthcare, education, the justice system, and more. I am proud to have signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law, ensuring that every American can marry the person they love. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. Whether serving their communities or in the military, raising families. How you gonna raise families? Because you can't have a kid outside of a man and a woman. Anyhow, raising families, running businesses, they help America thrive. They desire and are entitled to the same rights and freedom as every other American, including the most fundamental freedom to be their true selves. But extremists, there's you and I, but extremists are proposing hundreds of hateful laws that target and terrify transgender kids and their families. Kids. 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 We are extremists by the words of Joe Biden. I don't get political. The truth is the truth. Joe Biden said, you're an extremist because you think it's wrong for a seven-year-old to determine he's a girl. You are an extremist because you think it shouldn't be legal for the school to let your third grader have a sex change without your knowledge. That's the laws that he's calling hateful. And you're the person he's calling an extremist. Have you heard how many times I read his words? I am proud. I'm not getting political. And I'm going to make people mad today. You better not check Joe Biden in November. I didn't tell you who to check. And I didn't tell you what party to vote for. I just told you one name. Because he's been bold enough to put it on his official letterhead to call the church extremist, to call laws to protect our children hateful, and to be proud to embrace what is displeasing to God. At the same time, my administration is working to stop the bullying and harassment of transgender children and their families. We don't want to harass or bully anybody. And if he was actually talking about harassment and bullying, as you and I understand harassment and bullying, I could agree with that statement. But the fact of saying you will inform me of everything that happens to my child that is in the third grade as harassment, wake up. My administration is also providing dedicated emergency mental health support through our nationwide suicide and crisis lifeline. Any LGBTQI plus young person in need can call 988, press 3 to speak with a counselor trained to support them. I want to pause. I'm thankful for that. But do you know why mental health and suicide is higher within that particular community than any other community? Is because the demons within them are at war and they don't have any peace because they're looking for the presence of the Father, but they have turned to the lust of their flesh. They have began to worship the creature instead of the Creator. They have left the affections of nature as God created. They are confused. Oh, wait a minute. Who's the author of confusion? I didn't plan on any of this today, but I'm telling you the Spirit of the Lord is up here. I'm telling you today that the truth is still the truth, and it don't matter how you've been raised. We are making public services more accessible for transgenders. What does it mean, making it more? I had never seen a hospital that wouldn't let you in. I had never seen a church that won't let you in. Whosoever will, let them come. I don't care how jacked up and twisted, colored up, tatted up, confused. You can be dressed like Dolly Parton and be a man. I don't care. If you come in and sit on these pews, we're going to preach the Word of God to you. Now, I'm not going to ordain you. No, you can't be a deacon. No, you can't be on the prayer team. No, you can't teach Sunday school. No, you can't work in a nursery. No, you can't be a part of our youth ministry. You can sit there and you can hear the Word of God. And when you get born again, glory, He'll set you free. Then we'll train you up. Then you can teach Sunday school and you can be on the prayer team. Wasn't my plan. Lord, forgive me if I hurt feelings. Megan, stand up. Orion, stand up. Y'all stand right up here for a second. I'll put the devil to bed. You're good. Put them shoes on. See, what a lot of y'all don't know, drug addiction, homosexuality, turned to transgender, started hormones for a year to become a woman. Isn't he one of the best looking dudes you've seen? Playing the bass on the worship team, helping in ministry, faithful to the leadership, ministry, program, and the Word, absolutely, in prayer. Megan, bound by alcohol, living the lesbian lifestyle, saved, set free, teaching a small group on Sunday night about the armor of God. So what does the LGBTQI plus community need? They need Jesus. They need the Word of God. And they need a church to grow a backbone and to preach the Word of God. That's what they need. Right here. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Both of them called to ministry. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, thank you, God, that your stamp of approval is on a soul redeemed and set apart for your glory and for your honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, we don't tell you everything the Holy Ghost does in this place. Yeah, I'm telling you. I might be long-winded, and we might have something 7 days a week, but I'm telling you, we look just like the Word of God says we ought to look, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Hey, glory. I'm just going to finish this out for you because this ain't my words I'm reading. I don't want nobody to be able to take a video and clip what I've been reading. I'm just reading the letter. Therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue, what virtue, of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the law of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, that's Easter Sunday, as Transgender Day of Visibility, I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. I am not for violence. I am not for discrimination. No. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 29th day of March, Good Friday, in the year of our Lord. Don't bring Jesus in this. Don't bring Jesus in this. He ain't nowhere else in it. Why you want to talk about in the year of the Lord? Here's why. Because God is so God, they can't even deny him. They can't even count their years without bringing the Father into it because he transcends all time. He was there in the beginning. He's going to be here in the end because he has no beginning and he has no ends. And even when on Good Friday, the day that they nailed Jesus to the cross, declaring that the day that we celebrate his resurrection is to be a day celebrated for those who are bound by sin, they still got to realize that even the day in which they're sinning still belongs to God. 2024, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 248, Joseph R. Biden, Jr. That ain't political rhetoric. That ain't what the Republicans are saying about the Democrats. This ain't got nothing to do with Democrat, Republican. This ain't got nothing to do with Trump. This ain't none of that. That's that man's words on his letterhand with his name signed to it. That's what he said. Wake up! Hebrews 1:9. I'm just sitting up here thinking about Orion and Megan. Hold on a minute. Let me just give God praise for a second because he's good. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Yeah. There's others that's got beautiful testimonies in this house. We was just talking about the LGBTQI+. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I said it earlier, but I want to bring it out here. A love for righteousness is a wonderful thing. But where's our hatred for wickedness? Where's our hatred for wickedness? Do you have the oil of gladness? I was praying about some individuals. I'm not going into any details. But they don't have any gladness. They don't have any joy. The oil of gladness is just not there. It's just totally absent. And in my prayer, I said, God, they do love you. And they're doers of the word, the best that I know. But I do not see a display of your joy or your peace in them anywhere. Give me wisdom that I may help them. And the Lord brought me here. And I'm going to share with you at large. Maybe you do have a love for righteousness. But the hatred for wickedness, lawlessness, is absent. And there's an and between those two statements. Your love of righteousness and hatred of wickedness is how your God has anointed you with an oil of gladness, even more so than your companions. Let me talk to you about the hatred of wickedness. I know that it's 12:11. I ain't preaching tonight, so we're good. Hatred of wickedness. It's not hatred of people. It's hatred of wickedness. Hatred of sin. We war not against flesh and blood. Powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in the high places. Our hatred is toward the wickedness, the lawlessness. But oftentimes we allow lawlessness and wickedness into our lives through people we are quote-unquote helping. Because when I began to study this out, one word came to my mind, compassion. But what about compassion? If I have a hatred for wickedness, what does that do to my compassion? And the Lord told me it'll make it look more like mine. Because every time in Scripture, when you read the Gospels and it says Jesus had compassion on them, He fed them, He delivered them from demons, He healed their physical body. Every time when it says the Lord had compassion on them, there was a need and it was met and they left delivered, praising the Lord. Compassion, when you come across that broken person and they're hurting, you feed them. You offer them Jesus. If they accept it, praise God. If they don't, you dust off your feet and keep praying for them. If you come to the person who's homeless, you provide them with shelter if you can. But let me warn, your home is your haven. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So if you need a home, and I have space in my home, I'll welcome you in my home. But you need to understand, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here are the boundaries for in my house. Here are the boundaries for my compassion to you. If you can't stay within those boundaries, that releases me from the responsibility. Because obviously you didn't really want what you were asking for. I got Scripture to back that up. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells Timothy to commit unto the faithful. To faithful. Faithful shows up. Faithful does what they're supposed to do. Faithful ain't out here in never land and you wondering where they are. Commit to the faithful. Family. be careful with your flesh and blood. Because our hearts are tender toward them because we love them. As you should. But I've seen so many households that once served the Lord destroyed because of kids or grandkids that brought in the division. I know that hurts, and that's a hard teaching. Psalms 45, verse 10 and 11. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord. Bow to him. That sounds really hard. And there's dealing here with worship and the kingdom of Israel. But we need to understand too, I'm not telling you don't help your kids or grandkids or whatever. But that same boundary that I shared with you about Joe Blow on the street needs to be the same boundary you set for your kid. I don't want you homeless, and I don't want you hungry, and you better know I love you with every ounce of my being, and I'm bringing you home to keep you safe and sound. But you know there ain't no dope in my house. There ain't no women in my house or men in my house, whichever it is. Here is the rule. You want a roof over your head? This door is always open to you, and I love you. But here are the rules, because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if they can't abide by that, parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt, whomever, you're released from that responsibility. Because what we don't understand is when we've allowed them in, they've brought in ever soul tie, they've brought in ever demonic oppression, they've brought in all demonic activity, witchcraft, and truths that they've opened themselves up to. And if they're unwilling to surrender to the boundaries that set forth by God, then we are allowing the devil at the dinner table, on the couch, in the refrigerator, and everywhere else. I'm not saying that they've got to be absolutely perfect and never make a mistake. I'm not saying that. But there's got to be boundaries. When you just open up the house and say, come in, still on drugs, still drunk, still with your men or women, you can still bring your drugs in, you can still drink, you can go out and get high and drunk all night long, and you can still come into my house at 3 a.m. in the morning high and drunk. No, the door's locked at 11 o'clock, and if you ain't in, you better sleep on the porch. But it's raining. They should have thought about that before they lit up that crack pipe. I know this is unconstitutional here, but this will help you. I got to say so myself, this is probably one of the best teachings I ever done in all the years of my preaching and teaching. This will help you. We have to understand that what we allow in, we allow in. Well, if they don't stay here, then where are they going to stay? That ain't your problem. You trying to be their Holy Ghost. You trying to be their provider. He's their provider. Yeah, but they're not in right relationship with him. Well, then your job is to be their intercessor. And until they're ready, they ain't going to do it anyhow. No matter how much you pray. I'm not telling you don't pray. You keep them prayers coming. But the Lord's not going to force himself on them. And unfortunately, a lot of us, I'm included in this, I got to hit rock bottom before my eyeballs are opened up. And if you keep enabling them, you never allow them to hit bottom. Guess what never opens up? Their eyes. Because just about the time they're going to have that thud that will wake them up, you come in and scoop them up. And keep on enabling them. Keep on enabling them. And then it starts to manifest in your life. Chaos at job. Chaos in the marriage. Chaos in the vehicles. Chaos. I don't know why. There's just chaos everywhere I turn. Nothing goes right. Everything goes wrong. Well, what have you let in your house? What have you let in your house? You opened up the front door and invited the devil in and then made the bed for him. You're wanting the blessing of the Lord outside the will of God. It doesn't happen that way. It is your love for righteousness and hatred of wickedness that your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. There's going to be people around you who just don't have it like you have it. And let me give you this, because I've done this, and I was wrong in it. I dampered my joy and my victory so that their chaos wouldn't show up so loudly. Because I felt bad. They're so consumed and so deluded and so sorrowful that when I get around them, I kind of get down with them too. Don't you do that. You let your light so shine, and when they don't want to be around you because your light's so bright, you've been set free. It's not your problem. If they try to dim your light to make their dimness brighter, run. We are so busy trying to be people's Holy Spirit. We are so busy trying to be the Father. As I said in the beginning, something the Lord has been dealing with me for months on is trusting Him for the outcome. You just do what He told you to do, and He'll take care of the rest of it. He tells us so. We say it around here all the time. If you don't have any other scripture memorized, you ought to have Matthew 6:33 memorized. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this shall be added unto you. What's the "and this"? Well, if you read the verses right before it, that's what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to live. It ain't even answer. I mean, it's the main things. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat and where I'm going to live and what I'm going to do. I'm just going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He's going to take care of I'm going to trust Him for the outcome. Because the truth is still the truth. Hatred for wickedness. Compassion does not mean that you lower your standard or you erase your boundaries. That isn't compassion. That's joining in on the sin. The righteous standard of the Lord never changes. Compassion is necessary. Compassion is necessary. Compassion is necessary. Jesus was moved with compassion, and people were fed. They were delivered. They were healed. If we will move in compassion, then the compassion should bring forth deliverance, healing, and sustenance. But if your compassion is bringing forth enablement for the furtherment of sin, that is not biblical compassion. That's enablement. Romans 1:25. They turned the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This morning, we live in a day and an age where we're more concerned about the created than the Creator. talk about stuff all the time, but we never do it. We fuss about stuff, but we don't ever offer a solution. It's for nothing. Outreach team, Philip and Kelsey, they have had this planned or wanting to do this for some time. The intercessory team last week that was taking the intercessory class, they prayed over and anointed all of this and this prayer oil. And so I'm going to do a different altar time than normal. Just everything today has been different. I hadn't even taken up the offering yet. It's 12:25. So I'll ask the ushers to stand at the back door here in just a minute. But here's what our altar service is going to look like. Hold on, I'm going to do this differently. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We all, if you are born again, you have the responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus. The truth is still the truth, and it's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to stand firm and hold on to the Word of God. And so today, I've given you a lot of practical stuff today. Well, here's some more practical things. This really nice leather-bound book, we have like 6 more cases of these, so we have like 1,000 of these books. This is what we will call the life book. It is the Gospels merged into one story. So instead of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's just the account of the birth, the life, the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, merged into one short book, easy reference. It does have the actual scripture references within it, but this is it. The truth is still the truth. And if we really believe that, then we ought to be doing that. And maybe you don't know exactly what to say, but you come in contact sometimes with people who will strike up a conversation about the Lord. They'll ask a question that has a spiritual slant to it. When that happens, you take that opportunity to insert a tool in their hand that can tell them who Jesus is and what he's done. So, what's the altar call this morning? Well, here's your word that's still true. Here's your own personal pocket size, purse size anointing oil. Scripture says, if there are any sick among you, to let them call for the elder to anoint them with oil and pray over them. Pray the prayer of faith, they shall be saved. I'm having to put this into practice myself because I got a custom. Brother, I need you to pray for me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I do. But no. No more I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You say pray for me. We in Walmart, we in Brookshire's, we praying. We in the bank lobby, we praying. We going to pray right now. I'll pray for you later, too, but we're going to pray right now. Because I'm taking for granted that I got another breath to draw. Well, what if somebody asked me to pray for their sickness? Well, I better have some oil to anoint them with. Now you have it. Maybe you come across somebody who needs the oil of gladness poured over them. You got some. What kind of oil is this? It's whatever oil the Holy Ghost needs at the moment. This oil is joy and peace and gladness and faith and healing and deliverance. It's whatever the Holy Ghost needs. Because he don't need us, really. But he asks us to come along and to help. And so I'm calling forth the whole congregation this morning. If you believe that the truth is still the truth, I'm going to ask you to just make your way to the front, grab you some oil, and grab you a couple of books. We got plenty. And be equipped to do the ministry. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that the truth is still the truth. Lord, I thank you that in this place, freedom reigns supreme. I thank you, Lord, that this morning there has been healings, deliverance. Father, today I'm asking that as we have a proper understanding of a love of righteousness and a hatred for wickedness, that the oil of gladness would be made known in this house. Father, for this little vial of oil and this book that tells us the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord, we surrender these tools to you. And we ask, God, that you would give us a boldness and a wisdom to use them for your glory. That we would understand that we are at war and we don't have time to waste. That we would stand firm and be who you've called us to be. Father, in this place, as we make a declaration that the truth is still truth, anoint this time, bless these people, lead God, direct us, God. I pray a hedge of protection around each and every one. And I ask, Lord, that you have your way in Jesus' name.